This week, our church is welcoming just shy. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
This week, our church is welcoming just shy of 900 kids to Vacation Bible School. It's amazing, truly, that nearly 1,000 children will be inside our church doors learning about the scriptures and about the God who made them and loves them and calls them by name. I have a special place in my heart for Vacation Bible School, partly because I grew up going to Vacation Bible School, or what we insiders call VBS. Sometimes, actually, I'd go to more than one a summer. I think maybe that had to do with my parents looking for somewhere to send us as kids in the summer. But either way, I frequented many different churches' Vacation Bible Schools. And in fact, as I got older, my parents would send me to San Antonio to help my aunt teach Vacation Bible School at her Episcopal church. It was our tradition. She would let me help plan the lessons and read part of the stories. In the evenings at her house, we'd pop popcorn and I'd help cut out the Bible characters from felt or glue popsicle sticks to the back of the cardboard animals. Vacation Bible School is full of lots of nostalgia for me. But beyond the warm memories of me and my aunt or the hot summer mornings spent inside the church, I love Vacation Bible School because it's where I first fell in love with the scriptures and it's where I learned about the God who made me and loves me and calls me by name. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, Matt and I decided to take a day off work right in the middle of the week, a Wednesday, just so we could enjoy each other without the company of our children. We did a lot of fun things, including seeing the new RBG movie about the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who many refer to now as the notorious RBG. Whether you agree with her political views or not, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is an icon for women's rights. She's been a powerful advocate for gender equality since long before her service to the Supreme Court. And I have to say, I left that movie feeling super inspired and grateful for the ways that she's shown support of me as a woman in what has notoriously been a man's role. I learned that Ruth grew up in the face of adversity. Her father was a furrier in the height of the Great Depression, and her mother worked in a garment factory. She didn't come from a lot of means, but she had a passion for education, and she was determined to learn all that she could. Due to her commitment and hard work, she went on to be one of 9 females in a 500-person class at Harvard Law School. There, she faced gender-based discrimination from even the highest authorities who chastised her for taking a man's spot at Harvard Law. She later transferred to Columbia Law, where she graduated first in her class. Ruth is now 83 years old, and she's tiny, but any assumption of her frailty would be utterly misplaced. She is still a mighty force to be reckoned with, and she continuously slays the giants of misogyny and sexism. 2 days after seeing the movie about the notorious RBG, I read an article about Ruby Bridges, a 6-year-old African-American girl who was the first student of her race to attend the all-white William France Elementary School in New Orleans in 1960. Norman Rockwell painted one of his most popular Saturday Evening Post covers about the day. The crowds of angry white adults, faces contorted with hate, shouting at a little black girl. 4 burly federal marshals, and in the middle of them, little Ruby Bridges in a white dress, pigtails, white socks, and shoes, carrying a book on her way to defeat a giant, the powerful giant of school segregation and the centuries of racism behind it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Ruby Bridges, 2 individuals who took on huge, established, deeply entrenched powers and overcame them, defeated them, One, a brilliant woman amidst a pervasive patriarchy, and the other, a little six-year-old black girl pushing against the boundaries of racial segregation. Neither of these stories are unlike that of a young boy who overcame a literal giant back in the 11th century BC. The story is a good one. Many of us know it well. It's a classic for vacation Bible school. It's full of excitement and tension and violence. In a scholarly analysis of the story of David and Goliath, Walter Brueggemann says, "Children love this story because they live in a world full of big, intimidating, and oppressive giants." The story of David and Goliath begins with Israel in trouble. Israel was engaged in a war with the neighboring Philistines. The two armies had been eyeing each other carefully from encampments on opposite mountains with a broad valley in between. You can actually visit the site in modern Israel. David's older brothers were in the army, and David's job was to bring them lunch every day. One day, from the Philistine camp came a lone soldier, and he was big, very big. He wore a helmet, breastplate, and shin guards. He had a spear and a giant sword. His name was Goliath, and the very sight of him struck fear in the hearts of the Israeli soldiers. He issued a challenge to King Saul's army. "Choose a man and let him come down to me," he shouted, standing in the middle of the valley. "If he is able to fight with me and kill me," said Goliath, "then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you will be our servants. I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." Everyone knew how that was going to come out. Goliath was big, strong, fierce, armed to the teeth. For 40 days, the story tells us that Goliath walked down the mountain and shouted challenges and insults. And for 40 days, the soldiers of Israel shook in fear, talking among themselves about how terrible and hopeless it all was. David could hear and see what was going on, so one day he volunteered. "I'll fight him," he said. His brothers scolded him for his ridiculousness. The king himself delivered the line, "You are not able to go against the Philistine, for you are just a boy." David assured the king that God would protect him, as God protected him against bears and lions when he was watching his father Jesse's sheep in the wilderness. And since Saul was out of options, he decided to let him try. So down the mountain went David, with his slingshot and 5 smooth stones and his confidence in God's protection. The fight itself was over before it got started. David moved quickly, ran, slung a stone, Goliath fell, and the Philistines fled. There is a great story in the tale of David and Goliath. Part of it is about the power of individual courage, great faith, and deep love. Ruby Bridges remembers the day she walked alone, 6 years old, into an all-white school. She wrote, "The morning of November 14th, federal marshals drove my mother and me, the 5 blocks to William France. One of the men explained that when we arrived at the school, 2 marshals would walk in front of us and 2 behind. It reminded me of what Mama had taught us about God, that He is always there to protect us. Ruby, now," she said as we pulled up to my new school, "don't be afraid. There might be some people upset outside, but I'll be with you." Sure enough, people shouted and shook their fists when we got out of the car. I held my mother's hand and followed the marshals through the crowd, up the steps into the school. The next morning, my mother told me she couldn't go to school with me. She had to work and look after my brother and sister. "The marshals will take good care of you, Ruby Nell," Mama assured me. "Remember, if you get afraid, say your prayers. You can pray to God anytime, anywhere. He is always with you." That was how I started praying on the way to school. The things people yelled at me didn't seem to touch me. Prayer was my protection. I imagine David like that, like Ruby, small, vulnerable, walking out onto the field to confront Goliath, absolutely sure of the rightness of his cause, absolutely sure that he was not alone. The truth of the story is that those things happen, friends. Little six-year-old girls overcome centuries of racism and the laws of the state, walking through crowds of adults whose faces are contorted with hatred, cursing, spitting, threatening, little girls saying their prayers. David and Goliath is a wonderful story, but it is more than a story reserved for children at vacation Bible school, don't you know? It contains truth about reality, about God, truth about a God who is always on the side of the marginalized and the oppressed, truth about a God who can be counted on in the struggles against injustice. It's a very old story, but it conveys the most important truth, and that is that God goes with us. God walks beside us whenever we step out onto the field to go up against a powerful and intimidating foe. My friends, Goliath is a symbol for everything that is fierce and intimidating and frightening. So this morning, let Goliath be whatever threatens you, whatever makes you feel small and weak and vulnerable, whatever immobilizes you, the disease you just learned about and now need to confront and contend with, serious surgery you or someone you love is facing that understandably makes you afraid, the never-ending demands of parenting your children no matter how old they are, the loss of a friend, a loved one, a dear one, the daily diminishment of aging, a very real giant. Let Goliath be whatever immobilizes you in fear. Fear of the future, fear of intimacy, fear of failure, fear of risk, fear of extending yourself, stretching yourself, fear of great love, fear of loneliness. Towards the end of my chaplaincy, I sat with a family as they lost their 19-year-old son to cancer. It's hard to know what to say in those moments, so I decided to just read a psalm attributed to David, a poem he perhaps composed years later in his own old age as he sat reminiscing, thinking about reliving that harrowing, frightening day long ago when, as a young boy, he stepped out onto the field to face the champion of the Philistines. A psalm to keep close to your heart in every moment of fear and threat. A psalm of David, the Bible says. Many of us know it well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.